You've been listening to 93.3 WNRB Wausau. Real life, real learning, real radio. Coming up next, a show the NSA always loves to listen into and stop tapping my phones. This is The Mike Cannon Show.
Warning, the views expressed on The Mike Cannon Show, or the segments brought to you on this indie media radio show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNRB nor WNRB's host.
This is my boomstick!
The Mike Cannon Show.
Yeah, hi, it's Bill Lumberg. It's about 10 o'clock. Yeah, just, wondering where you are. Yeah, hi, it's Bill Lumberg again. I just wanted to make sure you knew that we did start at the, usual time this morning. Yeah, it isn't a half day or anything like that. So if you could just go ahead and get here as soon as possible, that would be terrific.
And now, the man who mistook his wife for a hat, Mike Cannon.
Hey there, and welcome again to the special edition of the Mike Cannon Show, which is normally an indie media radio show for Central Wisconsin. However, this week I'm on vacation, so instead of my normal political diatribes, you're going to get the pleasure of some of my favorite music.
Well, if that is the worst thing that happens today, I'll be thrilled.
Well, okay, I can't just leave you with only music now, can I? So I'll intersperse a little with political stuff as well. And what the heck, here's a 30-minute piece called Mind Walk, which did a great job about baiting, which the producers of the program says is, set it in a way to manipulate the outcome or suggest something. And that is what this week's Mind Walk will do. So again, this week will be mostly music of the Mike Cannon canon, with a little politicking here and there.
Run away!
And as always, I thank you for tuning in to this week's Mike Cannon Indie Media Radio Show for Central Wisconsin, the Vacation Edition. Up next, Mind Walk.
Welcome to Mind Walk. Produced at Upstart Radio for Free Radio Santa Cruz, KRFP Radio Free Moscow, IndieMedia.org, RadioForAll.net, community and micropower stations worldwide.
Started with the Easter Bunny, or St. Nicholas, even more ridiculous, a tooth fairy. From there we're forced to recite the pledge, Hail Mary. One nation under God, why us? Don't question, son, you're burning hell. Pay attention to the lies that we're told to tell. Teacher teaches us Columbus was a hero. He stole lands, he stole lives of so-called Indians. From the Tainos to the Africans. Respect Thomas Jefferson? He molested Sally Hemings. And now they say Reagan was a great man. The godfather of crack babies? Denier of the AIDS plague? I ran fast as I could to the library to find out they tracing books I read. These lies got me surrounded. There's a war on truth. Ain't it on me? It started with that first lies too. Lies, it's all lies, everything they say. Lies, they keep telling lies, we hear them every day. We don't know that you're up to no good when you're telling lies. They say milk does a body good. How so? It causes disease. Don't trust me? Read about BGH and RGF-1. The dairy industry has us drinking poison. Got milk? Better yet, how about? Got cancer? Got a sick prostate? And you're looking for answers? And why we trust the FDA to protect us? These mad cows are milking us all the way to the bank. From cell phones to pharmaceuticals. Children force vaccinations that carry plague and chemicals. Corporate thugs push drugs like evangelists push miracles. Monsanto, Bayer, Procter & Gamble. Fluoride in our water supply has got its own cockeyed. But still they lie, telling us it's for our own good. First used in Nazi prison camps, now it's in our hoods. Lies, say. Lies, they keep telling lies, we hear them every day. Do you think that we don't know that you're up to no good when you're telling lies? From Fox News to the New York Post, and all these lying neocon right-wing news show hosts, Bill O'Reilly makes me nauseous. Hannity and Combs are drones for these greedy corporate monsters. Fitting lies to the public, they love it with puppets intimidated and controlled by color codes where lie becomes truth and truth becomes myth. Lost in the Rupert Murdoch and Clear Channel abyss. If you don't agree with Bush and you're unpatriotic, even if you've never known a man this psychotic in control of the so-called free and the brave, you become timid and afraid, eager to become slaves. The Patriot Act is good for the people. It's like saying the Bush regime will protect us from evil. How many lies can they tell in just 4 years? I say the worst is yet to come, so it's time to prepare. Lies, it's all lies, everything they say. Lies, they keep telling lies, we hear them every day. Do you think that we don't know that you're up to no good when you're telling lies? We saw the towers fall to ashes like they were laced with bombs. Are you sure only two planes did that harm? He told his flight 77 hit the Pentagon. But there's no photos of parts, man. Plus the science is wrong, you let it happen. Like FDR did Pearl Harbor so you could profit from war. Sorta like your father taking lives and oil in the name of freedom. Our innocent are either torture left, homeless or bleeding. Jump to America is what they scream while you preach freedom and the American dream. Troops dying, mothers crying, still trying to cope while you're denying that the dangers from Iraq was a hoax. You're not a man of the people, just a product of evil. Greed, power, and God, a combination that's lethal. So deceitful is criminal, but soon the truth will rise. Lies.
Everything they said turns out to be a lie.
The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Sent by my staff at 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday. I got it yesterday. Tangled up tubes. Because you got tangled up with all these things that are going on the internet commercially.
I think it's absolutely essential to provide streaming stuff going on the internet. The tubes. Fiber optic network tubes. I don't have to have that kind of speed. I don't think anyone here has defined what net neutrality is. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. And here we have this one situation. 10 movies streaming across that internet. We are saying that they cannot. I think it's absolutely essential. In the center, whether you realize that, you're asking for regulation for massively invading this world of the internet.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. I thought you were finished. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not finished. But when we take fiber optics, really indicate that anyone that wants to use this system for massive tubes, commercial purposes, those tubes can be filled, tangled up tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Why did we do that? Why? Enormous tubes. massive, massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. Your own personal Internet. That is you and me. You and me in the Internet. Tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Are you suffering from the ill effects of thinking? With great foresight and without thinking, your government offers a step-by-step guide to a successful quit thinking program.
The Quit Pack is a great place to start. Get a free Quit Pack mailed to you.
Background briefs provide detailed referenced information on a range of thought-controlled topics. Research about thinking prevalence, consumption and behaviour, thinking bans and workplace.
Colour inserts are an engaging way to educate young people about the harms of thinking and the benefits of being think-free.
Quitting can be hard. You might be going along okay and suddenly you feel like thinking again.
Remember, every craving only lasts a few minutes. You can fight off, delay, deep breaths, drink water or do something else.
Remind yourself of the times when you found the going really tough and how much work you put into preparing and achieving your goal.
It can help if you understand your addiction, why you have cravings and what triggers you to think.
Then you can be ready for the tough times.
We have some tips to help you through the tough times and perhaps you can share your tips with others.
How did you avoid having a thought? What can you do if you had a thought or if you've gone back to regular thinking?
We've got some good news for you, so don't give up. Understanding why you think makes it easier to quit and stay stopped.
Understanding your addiction can help you deal with triggers and cravings.
Withdrawal symptoms are the way your body reacts when it stops getting thought and all the other ingredients in dangerous thought. Most withdrawal symptoms are gone within 2 to 4 weeks.
Cravings or hunger for thinking are usually strongest on the first day and lessen as the days pass. Think about other things you can do instead of thinking.
Most people do gain some weight when they quit thinking.
The urge to think can return when you least expect.
You can stay stopped, but you need to be prepared.
There's always something better than a thought.
Top 5 quit thinking products.
Think-O Cure.
Final Thought.
Think Ban.
Think Orette.
Kick Thought.
Do you think other people's thoughts? Thinking can be expensive. Thinking can cost you your peace of mind.
Are you a passive thinker?
Passive is not active.
Remember, the harms of too much prolonged thinking can lead to brain amputation.
If you do have a brain and you want to retain it, then make sure you stop in time.
It's never too late.
Never too late, and it is never too early. In fact, never take it up. Never start thinking, and you will have a great life with no thought of the future or the past.
Your whole family will appreciate you being thought-free. Are you a serial thinker?
Oats are my cereal.
Warning, thinking can harm your health and your baby. The government is committed to a thought-free society. Ring our quit line now on 1-300-456-789 to order your personal quit thinking kit containing various products to help you kick the habit of thinking.
Rockets and missiles filled with ball bearings. Those distress calls from the UN observers on the ground to Israeli commanders might not have reached Israeli pilots in time.
4 miles north of the Israeli border. Let's zoom in on the town. Let me show you what the Israelis are actually facing here. There are two ways to clear this town. One of them is to go in and bomb it and take it off the map. The Israelis are not likely to do that. World opinion won't allow it. The other way is to go street by street, house by house, room by room, looking for terrorists and cases and that type of thing. That's what the Israelis did. Every intersection in this town, every building, every room is a potential ambush site. They can also be booby trapped. And once you clear it, think of the number of troops it takes to surround and keep this secure. The Israelis made one, left it. The guerrillas, the insurgents came back and they attacked the Israelis, and there were civilian and Israeli casualties as well. This is just one of the towns dotting the countryside around there. It shows the problem the Israelis are facing in clearing this area.
Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah,
a fugitive now living in Lebanon.
Lebanon, Iran, the list goes on. Lebanon, Iran, the list goes on. New terrorists with every new generation.
We do not use weapons that are outside international norms. We don't target innocent civilians with phosphorus.
Israel is being accused of using phosphates with phosphorus.
4 miles north of the Israeli border. Let's zoom in on the town. Let me show you what the Israelis are actually facing here. There are two ways to clear this town. One of them is to go in and bomb it and take it off the map. The Israelis are not likely to do that. World opinion won't allow it. The other way is to go street by street, house by house, room by room, looking for terrorists and patients and that type of thing. That's what the Israelis did. Every intersection in this town, every building, every room is a potential ambush site. It can also be booby trapped. And once you clear it, think of the number of troops it takes to surround and keep this secure. The Israelis basically left it. The guerrillas, the insurgents came back, and they attacked the Israelis, and there were civilian and Israeli casualties as well. This is just one of the towns dotting the countryside around there. It shows the problem the Israelis are facing in clearing this area.
Hezbollah has been launching missile attacks against Israel from the Qiyam area.
Rockets and missiles filled with ball bearings.
The fighting was described as vicious, close quarters, matching tanks and armor in the northeast.
Israel is being accused of using bombs laced with phosphorus.
Firing a laser at the target. An aircraft sees the laser, he drops the laser-guided bomb, and then homes in on reflected laser energy to hit the target. The second way is what we call self-lasing. The pilot in the aircraft fires his own laser, drops his own bomb, then homes in on the target. The third way we call buddy lasing. One pilot designates the target with the laser, the second aircraft drops the bomb, it homes in on the target. All three of these can go wrong if the person designating is looking at the wrong target.
Matching tanks and armor in the northeast.
Lebanon, Iran, the list goes on. Lebanon, Iran, the list goes on. Lebanon, Iran, the list goes on.
Rockets and missiles filled with ball bearings.
The Katyushas.
Hezbollah has been launching missile attacks against Israel from the Qiyam area.
Hezbollah
leader Hassan Nasrallah,
a fugitive now living in Lebanon.
Hezbollah has been launching missile attacks against Israel from the Qiyam area.
4 miles north of the Israeli border. Let's zoom in on the town. Let me show you what the Israelis are actually facing here. There are two ways to clear this town. One of them is to go in and bomb it and take it off the map. The Israelis are not likely to do that. World opinion won't allow. The other way is to go street by street, house by house.
Yeah.
Realistic, demand the impossible. This famous slogan, which graced the walls of Paris in May 1968, was truly revolutionary in its time, turning every common sense conception of realism on its head. Now artificial, virtual, quote, realities have come to dominate social relations. Life is not so much lived as watched, and anything can be seen with the new technologies. Considering this, it is no surprise that a slogan once so challenging to an entire social order has now become an advertising slogan. The circuses that we are offered with our bread present us with spectacles like none ever seen before. Exotic places, strange creatures with magical powers, fantastic explosions, battles and miracles. All of these are offered for our entertainment, keeping us glued to the spectator seat, our activity limited to occasionally flicking a button. Not unlike the primary activity in an increasing number of jobs. So, the impossible the society offers us is nothing more than spectacular special effects on a screen, the drug of virtuality numbing us to the misery of the reality that surrounds us, in which possibilities for really living are closing down. If we are to escape this miserable existence, our revolt must be precisely against social reality in its totality. Realism within this context becomes acceptance. Today, when one speaks sincerely of revolution, of striving to overturn the present reality in order to open the possibility of concrete, self-determined human activity and individual freedom, one is being unrealistic, even utopian. But can anything less put an end to the present misery? Increasingly, in the face of the juggernaut that is civilization, our present social reality, I hear many radicals say, "It's necessary to be realistic. I'll just do what I can in my own life." This is not a declaration of a strong individuality making itself the center of a revolt against the world of domination and alienation, but rather an admission of resignation, a retreat into merely tending one's own garden as the monster lumbers on. The positive projects developed in the name of this sort of realism are nothing more than alternative ways of surviving within the present society. They not only fail to threaten the world of capital and state, they actually ease the pressure on those in power by providing voluntary social services under the guise of creating, quote, counter-institutions. Using the present reality as the place from which they view the world, there are those who cannot help but see the revolutionary destruction of this reality in which we live as impossible, and therefore a dangerous goal, so they resign themselves to maintaining an alternative within the present reality. A more activist form of realism also exists. It is found in a perspective that ignores the totality of the present reality, choosing instead to see only its parts. Thus, the reality of alienation, domination, and exploitation is broken down into categories of oppression which are viewed separately, such as racism, sexism, environmental destruction, and so on. Although such categorization can be useful for understanding the specifics of how the present social order functions, it usually tends to instead to keep people from observing the whole. It allows the leftist project of developing specializations in specific forms of oppression to move forward, developing ideological methods for explaining these oppressions. This ideological approach separates theory from practice, leading to a further breakdown into issues upon which to act. Equal wages for women, the acceptance of gays into the military, or the Boy Scouts, protection of a particular wetland or patch of forest, on and on goes the endless rounds of demands. Once things are broken down to this level, where any analysis of society as a whole has disappeared, one is once again viewing things from a place within the present reality. The activist realist, also known as the leftist, efficacy is the primary value. Whatever works is good. Thus, emphasis is placed on litigation, legislation, petition to the authorities, negotiation with those who rule us, because these get results. At least if the result one wants is merely the amelioration of one particular problem, or the assimilation of a particular group or cause into the present order. But such methods are not effective at all from a revolutionary anarchist perspective, because they are grounded in acceptance of the present reality, in the perspective that this is what is and so we must use it. And that is the perspective of the logic of submission. A reversal of perspective is necessary to free ourselves from this logic. Such a reversal of perspective requires finding a different place from which to perceive the world, a different position from which to act. Rather than starting from the world as it is, one may choose to start from the will to grasp for life as his own. This decision immediately places one into conflict with the present reality, because here the conditions of existence, and thus the choices of how one can live, have already been determined by the ruling order. This has come about because a few people managed to take control of the conditions of everybody's existence, precisely in exchange for bread and circuses, survival graced with a bit of entertainment. Thus, individual revolt needs to arm itself with the analysis of class that expands its critique, awakening a revolutionary perspective. When one also begins to understand the institutional and technological means through which the ruling class maintains, enforces, and expands this control, this perspective takes on a social and Luddite dimension. The logic of submission tells us to be realistic, to limit ourselves to the ever-narrowing possibilities that the present reality offers. But when this reality is, in fact, marching towards death, towards the permanent eclipse of the human spirit and the destruction of the living environment, is it truly realistic to, quote, be realistic? If one loves life, if one wants to expand and flourish, it is absolutely necessary to free desire from the channels to constrain it, to let it flood our minds and hearts with passion that sparks the wildest dreams.
This has been Mind Walk, an Upstart Radio production.
And now, the only radio commentator not addicted to illegal pain medication, nor Viagra, Mike Cannon.
That was Mind Walk. And you're tuned in to the vacation edition of the Indie Media Radio program for Central Wisconsin, The Mike Cannon Show. Normally each Monday, starting at 2 p.m., I bring you alternative non-corporate reports and shows produced on other not-for-profit and or community radio stations from around the country and the world. Not this week, though. This week, you're getting a little music show with a little politicking here and there as well. Hope you're enjoying it, and as always, thanks for listening.
The Robin brought forth from Camelot. He was not afraid to die. Oh, great Sir Robin. He was not at all afraid to be killed in nasty ways. Brave, 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 brave Sir Robin. He was not in the least bit scared to be mashed into a pulp, or to have his eyes gouged out and his elbow broken, to have his kneecap split and his body burned away, and his limbs all hacked and mangled, brave Sir Robin. His head smashed in and his heart cut out and his liver removed and his bowels unplugged and his nostrils raped and his bottom burnt off and his penis...
That's enough music for now, lads.
Security agent.
No, let him stay.
No.
Let him stay.
Well, at least it's a fruit pie.
Let's pray for him right now. Anita, let's pray. Anita, why don't you pray? That's all right.
Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity of coming to Des Moines. And Father, I want to ask that you forgive him.
That we love him.
And that we love him. And that we're praying for him to be delivered from his deviant lifestyle, Father.
shack ice cream. Let the party start. On the count of
one, two, three.
See them scramble to the top. Watch them fall from the rain. Never trust a man with egg on his face.
We talk without words. And everybody understands. Just desserts delivered by hand. Nobody move, or the CEO hits it in the face with cream and dough.
See them scramble to the top. Watch them fall from the rain. Never trust a man.
And now, the man who loved too much, Mike Cannon.
That last song was titled Just Desserts by an anarchist music collective, Chumbawamba. We'll stay with Chumbawamba for one more short piece and bring you an old Irish song of protest. This clip is taken from Echoes of a Century, which can be heard on WNRB on Saturdays from 9 to 10. That is Echoes of a Century every Saturday from 9 to 10 on this WNRB community radio station.
I'm with it. I'm hip.
You are listening to the Mike Cannon Indie Radio Show, the Vacation Edition. This week, mostly some music from the Mike Cannon canon, if you will. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about this show, well, keep them to yourself. Or better yet, contact me. I dare you. You can do that by emailing me at themikecannonshow@hotmail.com. That's all one word, themikecannonshow@hotmail.com. Thanks for listening to this WASA premier community radio station.
W.
Chumbawamba were at the forefront of the 1980s anarcho-punk movement, frequently playing benefit gigs in squats and small halls for causes such as animal rights, the anti-war movement, and community groups. In 1988, the group recorded the album we'll be hearing in this week's program, English Rebel Songs 1381-1914. The songs themselves are precisely what the title says, with no instrumentation except for occasional percussion. The history of the individual songs I'll be reading directly from the note booklet of the CD. Now, the note history for the second song on the album. The Diggers song was written in 1649 by Gerard Winstanley, leader of the Diggers. The Diggers, unable and unwilling to pay exorbitant rents to rich landlords, took over wasteland and began to build their own community. Time after time they were attacked by local soldiers under orders from the priests and lords. Their growing crops were pulled up and discarded. The Diggers, staunch pacifists, were repeatedly beaten up, but offered no physical resistance. Moving from place to place and encouraging others to follow their example, they struggled on for 2 years, preaching a vision of common ownership of the land and shared labor. What happened to the diggers should have taught us two things. First, by nature of their example, that common and equal work, without lords or masters, can be a practical alternative to the robbery and inequality of capitalism. Second, that a willingness to accept the violence and destruction of the state without fighting back is, in the end, self-destructive. St. George's Hill, the most famous of the diggers' plots of squatted land, is now a highly select residential area full of well-to-do stockbrokers.
You noble diggers all, stand up now, stand up now. You noble diggers all, stand up now. The wasteland to maintain, seen cavaliers by name. Your digging does maintain, and persons all defame. Stand up now, stand up now. Your houses they pull down, stand up now, stand up now. Your houses they pull down, stand up now. Your houses they pull down to fright your men in town. But the gentry must come down and the poor shall wear the crown. Stand up now, diggers all. With spades and hoes and ploughs, stand up now, with spades and hoes and ploughs, stand up now. Your freedom to uphold, seen cavaliers are bold, to kill you if they could, and rights from you to hold, stand up now, diggers all. The gentry are all round, stand up now, the gentry are all round, stand up now. The gentry are all round, on each side they are found, their wisdom so profound, to cheat us of our ground, stand up now. The lawyers they conjoin, stand up now, the lawyers they conjoin, stand up now. To arrest you they advise, such fury they devise, the devil in them lies, and hath blinded both their eyes, stand up now. The clergy they come in, stand up now, the clergy they come in, stand up now. The clergy they come in and say it is a sin that we should now begin our freedom for to win. Stand up now, diggers all. Gainst lawyers and gainst priests, stand up now, gainst lawyers and gainst priests, stand up now. For tyrants they are both, even flat against their oath, to grant us they are loath, free meat and drink and cloth, stand up now, diggers all. The club is all their law, stand up now, the club is all their law, stand up now. The club is all their law, to keep poor men in awe, but they no vision saw, to maintain such a law, stand up now, diggers all.
The Colliers March was inspired by the events of October 1782, when a march of workers into Birmingham demanded regulation of food prices. So strong and threatening was the march that officers of the town promised to curb the prices of malt, flour, butter, and cheese, knowing that any refusal would lead to food riots, arson, and looting. Around this time, such marches and riots were commonplace. Recent comments by MPs, cops, and media asserting that riots and attacks on police are unprecedented show how little we are taught of the history of mass violent action against the state. It has always been and always will be a feature of any imbalanced and unequal society. The black gentry in the song were the colliers from the black country around the English Midlands, whose march from Dudley into Birmingham was the subject of several songs and ballads. This song was written by John Freeth sometime around 1782.
The summer was over, the season unkind. In harvest a snow, how uncommon to find. The times were oppressive, and well be it known that hunger will strongest offences break down. 'Twas then from their cells the black gentry stepped out, with bludgeons determined to stir up a rout. The prince of the party who revelled from home was a terrible fellow and called Irish Tom. He brandished his bludgeon with dexterous skill, and close to his elbow was placed Bolly.
You know, you only had one shot to make it right, to do the right thing, so listen to the Mike Cannon Show.
Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Edison, mixing up the medicine, messing up time from Accrington to Amazon. See them all come with the wires and boots and their itchy little bums saying, play a funky drum.
Each jump in the dark, we claim as our own. We know it's a lie, we never acted alone. Each jump in
the bar, poor Gus Dudgeon lying in his car, down in the basement messing with the moment, alchemy and elements, smashing up your instrument, old Thomas Edison mixing up the medicine, messing up time from Accrington to Amazon, see them all come with the wires and boots and their itchy little bums saying play a funky drum. Flashlight, sorting out the copyright. Takes a little time, but the contract's airtight. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? The money's in the black, but the needle's in the red.
1, 2, 1, 2, check. Wednesday, Mississippi. Yeah. Check.
Old Thomas Edison, mixing up the medicine, messing up time from Accrington to Amazon. See them all come with the wires and boots, and their itchy little bums saying, play a funky drum.
You've probably seen a bumper sticker that says, kill your television. Don't bother. Corporate-dominated television and radio are busy killing themselves.
Amen to that, brother. That's what we try to do for you, our Central Wisconsin listeners on the Mike Cannon Show. We bring you non-corporate-controlled interviews and shows from other not-for-profit and or community radio stations from around the country and the world. Well, normally that's what we do each week on the Mike Cannon Show, which airs, by the way, starting at 2 p.m. every Monday. But this week we are bringing you mostly music because, well, I'm on vacation and I only want to bring you the freshest of programs. If it's not fresh, I won't serve it here on the Mike Cannon Show.
Something.
Up next, a little Orwellian thing I put together, then on to some Rasputina. Hope you're enjoying this Mike Cannon Intermedia Radio Show for Central Wisconsin, the Vacation Edition. Thanks for listening.
Things are going to get worse, especially with what I have to do to get us out of here.
We try to shine a spotlight of truth in these Orwellian times.
This evening we bring you George Orwell's 1984, published 1949. The black mustachioed face gazed down from every commanding corner. There was one on the house front immediately opposite. "Big Brother is watching you," the caption said, while the dark eyes looked deep into Winston's
corner. There are such things as roving wiretaps. Now, by the way, anytime you hear the United States government talking about wiretap, a wiretap requires a court order. Nothing has changed, by the way. When we're talking about chasing down terrorists, we're talking about getting a court order before we do so.
Any sound that Winston made above the level of a very low whisper would be picked up by it. Moreover, so long as he remained within the field of vision which the metal plaque commanded, he could be seen as well as heard.
This is a highly classified program that is crucial to our national security. Its purpose is to detect and prevent terrorist attacks against the United States, our friends and allies. Yesterday, the existence of this secret program was revealed in media reports after being improperly provided to news organizations.
No way of knowing whether or not you were being watched at any given moment. How often or on what system the thought police plugged in on any individual wire was guesswork. It was even conceivable that they watched everybody all the time.
And the unauthorized disclosure of this effort damages our national security and puts our citizens at risk.
From where Winston stood, it was possible to read, picked out on his white face in elegant lettering, the three slogans of the party: war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength.
That when we talk about war, we're really talking about peace.
War is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength.
That when we talk about war, we're really talking about peace.
War is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength.
That when we talk about war, we're really talking about peace.
War is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength.
Such a pretty day for a bloodbath.
Sit back, relax, breathe in. Slowly, there you go. Enjoy the Mike Cannon Show.
With the mold, let their pals can wonder how they chew on their pointy teeth and their beauty. They know it's a duty to be countess in their hearts. Their minds and have to whisper, seeing them assist to look into their eyes. And you'll be in Transylvanian concubine. You know what flows there like wine. Sorrow is a master cackling with laughter. Now he's having just a one piece of cake. He is a makeup Catholic, try to shake up all the things up from their lives. But their death, the sighs, their song, they know what they do is wrong. Stay here with us, it's just time.